Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Mike, I'm gonna get this thing switched on here in just a second, brother. All right, I got light. Is that working? Can you hear me now? Okay, all right. He left me a note up here. Tells me everything to do. And now it says message. But there's no message on here. It's trying to confuse me again. My soul. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I cannot believe I am standing in this pulpit. This is a blessing beyond my wildest imagination. I'm standing here because I can't. But my God can. And I was going to bring a whole box of hankies, but I only got one. No, I got two. I got one spare for Dr. Carter, and he chickened out. He's not here tonight. I don't think he wanted to be here the first time I preached, but that's okay. And yeah, I got my hanky with me because I'm probably going to cry. I want to cry right now. And I hear that song, and we think about America. And it's such a blessing to me. America's been so good to me. And all of us older generation in here, we know the things God's done. We know how great this country's been. And you younger folks, you're cheated. You know, you just don't know what you're going to be missing out on. But there's one thing we need to remember. And we need to look at some realities. Whose fault is it? It's ours. You know, America was founded. You know, we argue about this all the time in the schools. You know, we argue about they don't teach creation. We argue about they don't teach a true history. Well, you and I know that America was founded. God founded America, didn't he? Sure he did. And it's his church, but then his church doesn't stand up for their liberties. So it's our fault that America is not what it is today. We can point at the government, and we can point around the world, we can point anywhere we want to point, but it all falls back on you and I. So when we have a problem today in America, when you get home tonight, look in the mirror, because that's where the problem lies. And it's still true today. Hey, Dr. Carter gets up here and preaches. We have preachers come in. Brother Cole done an awesome job this past Sunday. I mean, you just don't get preaching any better than that. And you're certainly not going to get it tonight. I can promise you that. Amen? You know, I'm the best you have tonight. I'm sorry. There's more out here. We got some good preachers sitting out here. But God elected for me to be here tonight. And I just can't tell you how happy that makes me. I can't believe I'm here. 5 years ago when I started school, I'll never forget the first day of school. Dr. Lewis was dean of college. He was up there on the platform. And I'm sitting here seven seats back right behind about where Dr. Lewis is sitting right now. In the college chapel over there. And all these youngins around me. I'm like, oh my soul, what am I doing here? Here I am, white-headed, old man. I'm sitting in here and all these young kids. I mean, all of them, they're younger than my children. I mean, some of them could almost be my grandchildren. And I'm like, Lord, what am I doing here? Well, I toughed it out. I didn't quit, but I sure wanted to. And then we had to do an English entrance exam. I'm like, what? Like, you got to be kidding. Nobody told me this. I would have studied, right? So I just signed my name on it, turned it back in. Miss Harvey looked at it. She said, well, be easy to grade. Praise God. And I guess it was. And then we found out later on we had to do a math entrance exam. I'm like, what? A math? Well, praise God, I am pretty good at math. So anyhow, I took that. That was no problem. I didn't want to take that. I was so upset. I was looking for an excuse not to do it. Do you understand that? I was looking for an excuse to get out of school. That's all I was doing. I ran for God. I ran from him for 15 years. And when he finally got me pinned down, I didn't want to give up. I wanted to get out. I didn't want to be in the ministry. First of all, I'm ashamed to say this, but I am who I am. You're going to get a lot of ain'ts, ifs, and isms, and cousins, and wisms. I'm just country. I was just raised that way. But I'm ashamed to say that I hated people. I did. I did not like people. I did not want to deal with people. I just didn't like. I was a loner all my life. My wife will tell you, you can put me on a deserted island with me and her by myself, I'll be the happiest man on earth. That's just the way I was. But God changed my heart. And today, I just love the ministry. And people, my wife calls me the weeping prophet. Well, it's the weeping preacher. But why? Because it's just so dear to my heart. I just can't tell you. what it means to be able to stand here in a pulpit, Dr. Carter's pulpit, man. I mean, he's known around the world. I mean, it doesn't get any better than it is right here at Landmark. Yeah, that's right. This is where it's happening, right here. And we get so involved sometimes in the meat of the word, don't we? We get it all up in the meat. Well, tonight we're going to get some milk to wash the meat down with, okay? Because it's not going to be deep. It's going to be right on the surface. It's going to be simple and it's going to be easy. So if you open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, I had to say something because I got to kind of get moving around a little bit. And I got this lapel mic. And I tell you why I'm wearing the lapel mic. I preach in nursing homes all over the place. And we don't have podiums. So I have to hold my Bible. So tonight, if I put my Bible down here and you make me sit it here like this, I probably won't be able to preach. I'll be like, man, I won't know what to say. So I got to move around my Bible. Anyhow, turn your Bibles to chapter 6. And like I said, this is not real deep. I even typed me up some notes tonight. My wife would be proud of me. I don't usually use notes, but I did bring some. And I don't use them because I'm simple-minded and they confuse me. That is the truth. I get these notes up here and I try to get to preaching, and then I get to looking, and I'm like, I don't know, Bible or notes. So I'm just going to stick with the Bible. I got notes here, but I need them, and I probably need them if I can remember where I'm at. This is the honest God truth. The devil knows his business. He's good, folks. Last night, my brother became ill. So I carried him, my mother and I carried him to the hospital, and he thought he was having a heart attack. He was having pains in his side. And that's unusual for a heart attack. You and I think he got chest pains. Well, he's had a heart attack before, and he had pains in his side and down his arm. Exact same symptoms last night. So we carried him to the hospital. Well, naturally, you know how Haines City, heart of Florida, our good hospital. So anyhow, you know how that went, right? So then I get home last night, and I have a migraine. I get migraines from time to time. And I guess from the stress of having to be here tonight in front of you folks and him, I should have been the one with the heart attack, you know what I'm saying? But it was him. God's good. I get the stress, he got the heart attack, amen. So anyhow, I go home and I take some medication because I got a migraine. Well, I start itching. And I itched all night long. Whatever was in that medication, it's about 5 years old. I should have thrown it away. But whatever it is, but when you got a migraine, you don't care. You know what I'm saying? So I took that medication, and all night long, I was sleeping in a bed of fleas. So I didn't sleep all night last night. So then I get up from lying there, had to go to work today and do what I had to do. We went to Lakeland tonight. Brother EJ preached for us over there at the homeless shelter. And about 5 o'clock, right before we leave, I get sick on my stomach. Now, my grandson has been sick with a fever and sick on his stomach, throwing up. So I guess I contracted whatever he had. So here I am tonight, I have no sleep, and my memory is like I don't have one, okay? I can read this same chapter every night to myself and thank God for it because it's new to me every night. So don't get up here and say, hey, look, I can't remember anything. I can't serve God because I can't remember anything. I can't do anything. That ain't going to work because it's new to me. See, I can pick any. See, I like to preach on Jonah a lot. My wife says, you preach on Jonah all the time. Well, it's new to me every time I preach on it. So I enjoy it. And she doesn't. So I try not to preach on it for her sake because I know she gets tired of hearing it. Okay, anyhow, let's try to get started before we run out of time. We'll be here till about 10:30. Because when Dr. Carter gets back, I probably won't get to preach again. So we're going to enjoy it tonight, amen? All right, chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now, these are the commandments, the statutes. Now, I'm going to say my words the way I say them, okay? All right, don't look at me like, just go along with the program, all right? Now, these are the commandments and the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. I want you to notice it said the Lord your God commanded to teach you. I forgot where I was at. That ye might do them in the land, whether ye might do them in the land, whether ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes, and his commandments, which I command thee, thy and thy son, and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that in that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land which floweth with milk and honey. Now, when I was reading that the other thing, I got to read this whole chapter to you. My soul. I got to get better at reading while moving. The here, milk and honey. That made me think of America. When I was reading that the other night, I thought of America, the land which floweth with milk and honey. Hey, we live in the greatest nation in the world.
Amen.
Right here in America. And that's why I picked this text tonight. The Lord just spoke to my heart, and I pray that God will allow me to show you what he showed me.
Amen.
Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we do love you. I do pray, God, that you'll hide me behind the cross and allow me to reveal to them what you showed me. We'll love you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Anyhow, I thought about America. And in these first three verses right here, we see God is trying to persuade him to be obedient to him. Now, you got to remember, he has already given Moses the law. He's given Moses the law. And now they've wandered through the wilderness. They've seen all the miracles that God done when he brought them out of Egypt. These people seen all these miracles. Now they've come here. Moses has given the law to them. Now God is trying to persuade them to obey the law. That's what's going on here in the first three verses. Now look at verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord." Now right there, he's giving them a little truth. Then he goes on, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now let me ask you something, folks. If you love the Lord your God, now I understand that this is written to Israel. I understand that. And we're not doing any replacement theology or anything like that. But everything in this book is spiritually applies to you and I. This right here does anyhow, doesn't it?
Amen.
So if we love the Lord our God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, what's left? Nothing. See, God is asking us. He's commanding us right here. He's commanding us to love him as he's loved us. When he gave the Lord Jesus on the cross, he gave himself. He gave all that he had. And he's asking you and I to love and obey him. Now, we wonder why today America's in the shape that it's in. Like I said before, it's our fault. Because we don't love our God.
Amen.
We say we do. We get up here and we preach. But nowadays, across America, not necessarily at Landmark, but across America, there's a lot of preachless preaching going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of words, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
We got people sitting out here all in these pews, and they come and go, and they come and go, and they come and go, but it doesn't mean anything. See, they don't have the love of God in their heart. See, when I fell in love with the Lord, my wife was actually jealous. That's the truth. She'll tell you. She was jealous. Because when I found my God, I found my God. See, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was saved. And I thought I loved my God. But I didn't love him. I love my Lord today.
Amen.
Hey, I cry when I preach. I love my God. It means something to me.
Amen.
Hey, when I read scriptures, it just opens my eyes and my heart and everything I got, I want to give to God. And he has commanded he's commanded us right here to give our love to the Lord. Everything that we have, not just part of us, but all of us.
Amen.
We're supposed to give everything we have. But yet, right here in this church right here, I see every day one Christian tearing down another. Every day. Every day. We're all guilty of it. See, I had a professor one time say, if you preach on your own faults, you'll never run out of anything to preach. He's right. I haven't run out of anything to preach. I just preach on my own faults. I'm just as guilty as anybody sitting here. But we all do it. We find a way to tear another Christian down. If we obeyed God, and followed his commandments. We always look at the Big Ten, don't we? But it's more than just the Big Ten. We need to obey our God with all our heart, with everything we have, with all of our desires. Do you understand when you love God and you're seeking his favor, your desires will change.
Amen.
You won't have the same desires. We got too many worldly desires right here among us. Hey, I'm all about making a good living. I'm all about feeding my children. I'm all about having good clothes and a car to drive. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But there's too many of us to put too much before God. I want you to look around the room. These walls should be bulging out with people. This church should be full. I'll be honest with you, we got the greatest pastor in the world, I think. If we didn't do anything but honor him, these walls would be full. But we're supposed to love God. But we don't love God enough to come to church on a rainy night. We don't love God enough because we want to watch a baseball game or a football game. See, we don't love God enough to put ourselves aside and come to church. And then when we get here, we want to look around the room and poke somebody. Yeah, we do that. You know, and that's not what God says to do. You know, we got teenagers. I sat here the other morning, sat right there where Brother Cruz is sitting. We got teenagers right back here. A lot of y'all don't know that. But we got teenagers back here. And my heart was breaking. I was honored to be sitting on this platform. But my heart was breaking for those teenagers back there. You know, sometimes we just throw away Christians.
Yeah.
We do. We just throw them away like they don't mean anything. Every single Christian means something. Every Christian. God loves every one of us.
Amen.
And hey, while we were yet sinners,
Amen.
Christ died for us.
Amen.
Hey, I'm just as big a sinner as anybody has ever walked this earth. God says if I've broken one law, I've broken how many of them? All of them. But yet we want to look down on somebody. We got kids back here that their parents fight, do drugs. God knows if they even have any parents that was home Saturday night. But those kids get up in the morning, they dress themselves. No parent gets them up. They get themselves up. They dress themselves. They come to church. Then when they get here, we beat them up. That's sad.
Amen.
That's sad. That's the truth. That's what we do. We beat them up. That's not what this says. See, if I love the Lord my God with all my soul, all my heart, and all my mind, I'm going to love that kid the same way.
Amen.
See, I'm going to move myself out of the way. And I'm going to love that teenager back there. I don't care if he's white, black, green, blue, purple, it makes no difference.
Amen.
They're God's children.
Amen.
Each and every one of them. And it's up to us to love them. And we can get up here and we can preach and we can talk about how bad the government is, but sometimes we're just as bad.
Right.
We're horrible sometimes. And we want to clean it up. We want to make it right. It starts right here. It starts with you and I.
That's right.
You hear people talk about revival. Let me ask you something. Where does revival start?
Amen.
It starts with you.
Amen.
It starts in your heart. And I hate to say these things, but I'm just me. I just tell it like it is. I tell what I see. And when I preach it, I know sometimes it seems like it's directed towards you. Good, because that's who I'm directing it towards, okay? I want you to understand that. I'm talking about every person in this room. Because no matter how good you are, you're not good enough. No matter how much work you do for the Lord, you haven't done enough. No matter how much money you put in this offering plate, you haven't put enough. Me included. God says, all thy heart. Everything we have belongs to him. But it's too many of us that have forgotten that.
Right.
See, I've never forgotten the man that led me to Christ. A man named Joe Smith. I've never forgotten that man. I'll never forget him. He's special to me. The preacher where I got saved at Calvary Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Virginia. 12 years old. I was backslidden. Didn't know a thing about the Bible. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know a whole lot about it when I got here. That's right. That's another mistake we make. We think people come in to go to school. We think people come in to know the church, and we think they know the Bible.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah. That's right.
They don't know anything. Some of us have been here 30 years, still don't know anything. Yeah, and I know because I was one of them. Yeah, because see, it comes in this ear and it rolls right out this one. It doesn't get caught in the middle there because we look at self. It's all about self. We need to get self out of the way. We need to get all this self-righteousness out of the way. And we need to put God first. And it starts right here. It starts right here with every one of us in this room. This church, I don't know, God, it's almost like God has punished us in the last couple of years. Have you noticed that? Hey, nothing goes untold. Sin follows you. And we can point fingers and we can blame it on anybody we choose to blame it on. But it's us. If I read the rest of this story, we'll be here the rest of the night the way we're going. Because I was supposed to have been through with this part. But Israel disobeyed God. And they were punished. And when we disobey God, we're going to be punished. Now that's not to say that there's any one person. But when we disobey God as a church, and Brother Mike Case done a beautiful job the other morning. If you weren't here Sunday morning for Sunday school, then you missed it. He done a good job of explaining what the church is. We're the church, not this building, but the people. The people that's inside this building, we're the church. We're the ones that God loves. And it's up to us to make sure that everything here goes right and runs correctly. It's up to us to greet one another at the door with a smile. It's up to us. Hey, Brother Carter had a fish fry for his Sunday school class. Not only that, but he got up and sang. He's the only one in this building that I know that sings worse than I do. Yeah, I can't sing a lick. But you know, I can't tell you how proud I was of him. You know something? He was willing to humble himself for his people. Amen. See, he loves his God. Amen. He believes everything that he preaches. Amen. He humbled himself before you to show you that he'll go the extra mile. He'll do whatever it takes to build this church. Whatever it takes. See, that's the kind of pastor we've got. And that's the kind of church he's got. But we have got to get off of our self-righteousness, throw it out the door, and love the Lord thy God. Each and every one of us. Now, some of us are going to pout tonight when we get out of here. Oh, we're going to cry all the way to the house. I'll tell you what, they're going to say all kinds of things about this country, boy, that they got no business preaching up here in this pulpit. Well, if you're looking for an argument from me, you ain't getting it. Because I agree with you. I have no business preaching in this pulpit. But guess what? I am. Amen. God put me here. And there's nothing anybody else can do about it. So get used to it. Because as long as God wants me here, I'm going to be here. Amen. That's the way it is. And trust me, it was not by my choice. I almost had a heart attack then. I can't believe it. I still can't believe I'm here. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the opportunity. It's a blessing to be able to be up here and preach and speak to people. Because I don't like people, remember? And I never like, it's like Dr. Pitt said one time. Dr. Pitt says, well, the Bible says I got to love you, but I ain't got to like you. And that's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? And Dr. Jim Lewis over there, I'll never forget Dr. Lewis if I lived to be a million years old. He made me get up one time and preach in front of a bunch of people, and we didn't know we had to preach. He just said, come on out and breathe, bro. I'm like, okay. Well, I tell you what, that'll humble you. You'll find God between that seat and this platform. You'll find him. That's the truth. Amen. That's the truth. And I found him. And I've been hunting him all week long because I knew I had to preach Wednesday night. I had prayed. I had worn my knees out. I threw my pants away this morning. Threw them in the trash. Wore them slap out. I have been so nervous. But on the way over here tonight, after being sick, itching all night, brother's sick. I said, you know something? I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to be me. And if you like it, fine. If you don't, that's fine, too. You don't have to. Dr. Carter will be back Sunday, and you can hear some good preaching. Amen? Well, tonight you're stuck with me. I don't have time to finish up the rest of that, so let's go to Revelations. I want to look at something in Revelations. Just some simple truths We need to get back to the basics sometime. Hey, it's good to get in the Bible, and it's good to study, and it's good to get the word in your heart. But sometimes just some simple truths lights to pass for us. Because we need to remember where we came from. We need to remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. We need to remember that. Because we get so focused into what we're doing and what we're... Everybody around here, this is a working church. People are busy, and I understand that. We get caught up in what we're doing, and sometimes we forget why we're doing it. We begin to think that Sunday school class is mine. Hey, that's my Sunday school class. No, it's God's. You know, we begin to think, hey, that bus route, hey, that's my bus route. No, it's God's. And we forget that sometimes. So we need to open our eyes, and we need to look at some truths and some realities. Why? Because it keeps us on a path. It works for me. It keeps me where I need to be. I want you to turn to Revelations chapter 3, verse 13. And I know y'all familiar with this. Dr. Carter, if I'm not mistaken, preached on this a few weeks ago. Revelations chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Almost read my note right there. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." In other words, like Dr. Carter always says, it makes him sick to his stomach. Talking about God. Now, I want you to understand that this letter here, it was written to the churches. If we back up and we read it, it says the seven churches. So the seven letters here were written to seven churches. This one happens to be written to the Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church, that's us. We live in the Laodicean church age, the last church age. And according to what I just read in Scripture, God said we make him sick to his stomach. Now, this is the first thing we're going to say. Hey, we're not in the Laodicean church. I beg to differ with you. See, oh no, we're not in the Laodicean church. Remember when we first started this conversation, when the preaching first started? What's in your heart? Do you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul? Have you given him all that you have? Or are you still pointing fingers at other people? Or are we still laying the world's problems or our problems on the world? Or are we still blaming everybody around us for the condition of our church? Yes, we are. We're in the Laodicean church. I hate to say that, but I didn't write the book. We're living in the time. Now, we do not have to be a Laodicean church. That's a choice. We make that decision every Wednesday night. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, we make a decision as to what part we're going to play in that. And the church is made up of who? All of us. So in order for us not to be a Laodicean church, we got to quit living like we're a Laodicean church. What is a cold church? A cold church is a church that does nothing for God. It does absolutely nothing. They just come and go, come and go, come and go. What is a hot church? That's a church that's on fire for God. That's a church that's running all the buses, doing like we do here at Landmark. Doing all that we can do for the Lord. But are we doing it with a heart? Are we doing it with a good heart? Do we love the kids when we get them here? Do we? Do we truly love the kids when we get them here? Now, you know, I look around this room tonight, and I see mostly elderly. We don't see a lot of teenagers. We don't see a lot of 25 and 30-year-old people in this church. There's a reason. Ask yourself why. And the reason why is look around the room. We're the reason. That's right. We can't blame it on anybody else. Now, we can say this if we want to. We can say, yeah, but see, the church down the road, they play rock and roll. The kids love that. So they go down there and they listen to the rock and roll music. That's why they're not here. Nope, you're wrong. That's not true. Do they go down the road and listen to rock and roll music? Yes, after we get rid of them. See, remember I told you they get dressed and they come here on their own? They do. and then we push them aside. See, you got to remember something. They're not saved. They're not like you and I. They don't think like you and I think. Hey, I already know you're a sinner. I already know you were saved by grace. I know that. I forgive you for everything you've done just like the Lord does. I have to forgive you for him to forgive me. But they don't understand that. When they get here, they're leaving the world that they live in every day. And they get one day a week, 2 hours, that they get to come to a place that we call a church. And when they get here, they're expecting something different. And what do we give them? Sometimes we give them worse than what they're getting in the world. So they have to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay here or are we going to the world? So they go to the world. Because see, that's more appealing to the flesh. So see, we have to start loving our people. We have to start, hey, my own kids, my own son won't come to church here. Whose fault's that? I blame myself. But he won't. And you ask anybody you see on the street, if you see a teenager, you see a 25-year-old that you personally know that will not come to Landmark, ask them why they won't come here. Now, I know this hurts, but we need to change this church. But you ask them why they won't come here, and every single one would tell you the exact same thing. We're self-righteous. That's what they'll tell you. Are they right? Probably not. Some of them will say they're hypocrites. Are they right? Yeah, a lot of times. I spoke with a guy 2-3 weeks in a row visiting on Thursday night. I forgot his name now. I want to say Perry. Was his name Perry? I think it's Perry. Name's Perry. I knock on his door. Perry says, he sees me wearing a tie. He don't want nothing to do with church. I'm like, okay. But I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for another guy. And I was looking for another fella. I don't remember his name. He said, well, he's not here. So I spoke with Perry. And I said, well, if you don't mind, I'd just like to ask you a couple of questions. I didn't ask him anything about the church. I didn't ask him if he was going to go to hell tonight or anything like that. I was just casual conversation. And I left. I go back the next Thursday night. I knock on the door. Perry opened the door again. He tells me this other guy has flew the coop. He's no longer living here. And I said, do you mind if I speak to you? He says, I don't like church. I don't want anything to do with church. He says, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. And I looked at him, I said, oh, you've been to my church? And he laughed, oh my soul. That man said, you know something? He says, I like you. He said, what church you go to? And I told him, I said, Landmark. He says, I might just come. So I'm still praying for Brother Perry to show up here one day. But see, it didn't matter to me that he called me a hypocrite. What do I care? I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. I'm a lot closer to God than he is. And am I a hypocrite? Probably so. And so are most of you, aren't you? You know, if you ever do anything outside of what you preach and teach all the time, it makes you a hypocrite. But guess what? We're all sinners. But see, we know that. You and I, we already know that. It doesn't bother. Hey, I hear people all the time call Brother Cruz a hypocrite. All the time. And I just tell them, well, I know, but he's a good guy. You know, that's what I tell them. You know, you just never know. I say, but you know, we got some good people in the church too. You know, that's what I tell them. Hey, folks, what I'm trying to say, look, we need to open our eyes to the truth. Put everything else aside. What does it matter? Does it really matter whether or not some little nitpick something? Does it matter? No. What matters is what God says, and what matters is how many people we get in here and love. Right. And guess what? It'll grow. And it'll grow. And it'll grow. My daddy always told me you're going to get a lot more flies with honey than you are somehow. So you know, we need to remember that. And I want to read this other verse to you here. It says in verse number 20, we use this soul winning all the time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Why? Ask yourself this. This letter was written to the church, not to the heathen. It's written to the church. Why is Jesus standing out there knocking on the door? You know why? Because we've thrown him out of the church. See, that's the reality of it. See, we have taken the Creator, we've taken the God Jehovah, King of all kings, and we've thrown him out of the church, and we brought our own self-righteousness in, and then we can't figure out why things go wrong. Right. See, that's what we've done. That's a sad truth, folks. But we need to get a hold of that. You gonna be mad at me? Why? I'm not mad at you. It broke my heart when I studied that, and I realized what all that we do, that we claim we're doing for the Lord, but we're not always doing it for the Lord. We need to keep in our hearts what God wants us to do. Hey, I'm not saying that we're a bad church. I'm not saying that. But you got to understand, the devil uses every tool that he can get his hands on. He'll do anything. If he can tear you down, he's going to tear you down, brother. Let me tell you right now. If he can find one thing against you, he's going to use it. And he's going to use it to tear you down. And he's going to use it to try to get one Christian against another Christian. Right. Why? Look around. This is why. How about America? It's being torn down by the devil, Satan, and we're allowing it to be torn down because we're not getting ourselves back right with God. Amen. We need to get rid of all the self-righteousness. We need to wipe our minds clean and get back to the things of God and get back to the basics, which he's putting in simple things, just simple truths. And we need to take a stand for the things of God. Amen. And you can start that tonight. And I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. If you truly love God, if you mean that with all your heart, and you truly want to serve God, I don't know about you, but I love our pastor. I love Miss Carter. I love the kids. I love this church. And it hurts me to see that our schools are hurting. It hurts me to see that our Sunday schools are hurting. It hurts me to see our church half empty. It bothers me greatly. So I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. If you truly believe in God, if you believe, we preach God all the time. Did you believe him? See, we have unanswered prayers nowadays. There's no power on our preaching. There's no power in the things that we do. You know why? Because we've come to the point that we no longer believe. Oh, sure, we believe there's a God, but we don't believe in the power of our God. See, I'm not that bright. See, I still believe God. I still believe that if I ask God for something, he'll give it to me. Amen. So I'm afraid to ask for a lot of things because I'm going to tell you something. He'll give you a lot more than what you bargained for. But I can honestly tell you I've never asked God for anything that I hadn't got. But see, I believe God. And see, I believe right now I can ask God for $1 million. And if I needed it and it was in my heart to do right with it for God, he'll give it to me. See, I believe that. And if I don't, I've sinned against my God. Do you understand that? Because of lack of faith, if we don't believe in our God, we don't have faith in our God, we call him a liar, don't we? And that's where we're at. So I want to ask you all to do something. The further we get from God, the less we pray, the less we study, the less we believe. I want to ask you tonight to take a stand for this church. I want you to help me and help Dr. Carter and rededicate this church to God because it's his. I want our schools to belong to God, not us. They're his schools. And how can we do that? There's people in this church that haven't been to this altar in years. Bring yourself to this altar and ask God to take back over this church, to take back over these schools. They're his schools. It's his church. Let's give them all back to God where they belong with a good spirit. And let's ask God to run things around here, everything. Hey, we're just people. Dr. Carter's but one man. We got to stop doing things in our power.